Hello, everybody. We're back. If you don't know, now you know. So we are starting our rewatch of The Wheel of Time Amazon Prime TV show. Please join us Wednesdays at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time, West Coast, California, on YouTube at Wolf Brothers 7. That is Wolf Brothers 7, 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please join us live to add your two cents to the conversation. We want to know where you are with the show from, you know, the original launch oh so many years ago to its eventual demise. Are you happy it's gone so we can move on? Are you sad it's gone because now we have nothing? On top of that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, at least this is the plan, hopefully I can keep up with this, is I want to release some old episodes. If you're a classic fan of Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast, then you've probably heard some of these episodes. This is for a couple reasons. Like I said, for those who want more content, go ahead. But I also want you guys to listen to this and let us remind us what hypocrites we are. What did we despise 5 years ago that we're now like, not too bad. You know, now that we have no Wheel of Time, that crappy Wheel of Time was pretty damn good. You can jump on live with us Wednesdays, 7:30, and you can let us know why we're full of shit. Or you can send me a direct email to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. And please find each other to discuss Wheel of Time. It's kind of under construction right now, but I'm working on wotrewatch.com. That is wotrewatch.com. We are Parched Ailment on X and Insta. On Facebook, we are still Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. And on Blue Sky, we are Wolf Brothers 13. I'm going to try to post some content on there. Mostly, I'm going to be there to keep you guys up to date on when we're recording, when you can join us. So if we have to change our record time, you can still join us when that changes. But mostly, I want you all to be able to find each other and enjoy talking about the Wheel of Time. So enjoy this throwback episode of Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast, now known as WOT, Rewatch of Tribulation. Everyone, I am your, this is a beginning, and these are my Wolf Brothers.
I am your story renewed Wolf Brother today. I did that. I was like, why are we doing another rewatch? I'm not going to have shit to say. Oh, there are things. Oh, there are so many things.
Oh, and I am the wind that rose in the mountains of mist to blow away your expectations of this as being a good show. Because it's not. It is not a good show.
Oh, lies!
Especially this first episode.
Slander!
And the tears that rain down from Dragon Mount to wash away your tears of sadness and disappointment.
There's my notes for the first episode.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, look how cool he is. Well, I got this, and then I got that.
Look at you guys. We're all professionals.
And then I got that. So I got a whole page and then some.
I don't have that many notes. You know why?
I write small, too.
You know why? I just really enjoyed watching this episode again. There, I said it.
All right.
I did, too. I enjoyed this episode.
It's good that somebody had to.
There are a few things that I don't like, but I pointed them out. You'd be proud of me, Jeremy. I had my cynic hat on, too.
Thank you.
I'm like, nope. She shouldn't be able to do that. Nope.
Agreed. I don't know what you're talking about, but I agree.
No, you're gonna.
Well, and I'm trying to make sure that I give this the full attention it needs, because kind of like you guys talked about with your book reread, I've seen the first episode 8 times. I've seen the second episode 6 times, 5, 4, 3, 2. And I've seen the last episode twice, you know? So like this one, I was like, I got to slog through this again. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm excited for the last 2 or 3 episodes. So let's give the first 2 or 3 episodes their full attention so that if there's anything to be dug up from it, I can. And I liked it.
You know what? Desmond, you have no expectations.
Yeah.
Right? You have no expectations.
Yeah.
You just want to be entertained, and that's okay.
And I don't, even now that I'm reading the books, like, maybe there's some details down the road. Like, obviously there's some, like, you know, like, she's not supposed to do that. And there's some stuff that are way out of place that you might just have to say, this is a different story. Just let them tell it. But, like, things like the Trollocs, like, I'm not getting the idea that the Trollocs should be the size of a building reading the books. So
I feel like the Trollocs were aptly, like, appropriately sized. It was more Loial that I was a little more bummed out with.
Because
Loial is supposed to be bigger than Trollocs.
Yes.
That's just a whole nother.
So after watching the last Origins and seeing how they drew the Ogier, but after seeing that, it's almost like they had to rush through the Loial makeup and all that stuff because he doesn't look anything like what they drew him in the Origins.
I feel like that was maybe one of the budget things that kind of suffered, possibly.
I think so, too.
He just doesn't look right. And I hope they can kind of like, oh, well, you know, he grew into a more manly Ogier over the offseason and he looks a little better.
If they just went in and they did like a whole Game of Thrones mountain, we're like, it's not even the same guy. It doesn't look like him. It's like not built the same or anything like that.
And they just don't give a shit. They're like,
nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Hey, the mountain's a completely different guy. Who cares?
Exactly.
I really think it's just so that there's a man playing that part.
Yeah.
They didn't want to CGI it so much or have so many special effects going on that they were acting against a cartoon. I think they wanted a...
Then what is the excuse for the red wig?
Oh.
Sorry, I hate Jeremy. I think I just took your line.
You did.
You know, that's the one thing that killed me the most. I could have gotten all over the rest if he wasn't like, you know, like... Ron Weasley to Rand's Harry Potter. It's like, hello.
Well, they could have even done some like force perspective stuff, right? Like with Gandalf and the I mean, I'm sure that's much more difficult than it sounds, but it's cheaper than doing CGI, probably, I'm guessing.
I don't know. Not with the like, I mean, you gotta build sets for that. Like you gotta build trap doors in your sets.
And nowadays everything's, you know, cheaper with computers.
You mean it's not just like a green screen on Tosh?
It could be. I don't know.
It's not like that. It's not like Ridiculousness.
Not by looking at everything we've seen. They are building some fucking serious sets.
Yeah, they really are.
They're building castles and shit. So
let's hope that they do it good in the second season. And honestly, if they wiped out like a bunch of stuff that they did in the first season and we're like, let's just redo that. I'd be okay with it. I'd be totally okay with it.
No. Don't do that.
God, hating.
One more thing I have to apologize to our listeners about, something I got completely wrong, and it's been eating at me. So
the part about the show being bad?
No.
Oh, wait.
I sleep like a baby about that. Like a baby. I'll be the hater forever. But I did say that Robert Jordan had 20,000 named characters. It's totally not even close to that. It's 2,000, it's like 2,400 square characters. And so IMDb, I looked it up and it was totally, that's what, I think that's where I got the first number for the first time, but I just added a zero to it. So.
Yeah.
He's got 24,000, bro. Yeah, seriously.
The word count though is it dwarves everything.
Yes.
Like there is no, I mean, maybe there's something that's less popular, like some obscure fantasy that, you know.
What about the Bible, dude?
That's the
The Bible's only one book, so yeah.
Yeah, just one book, bro. Many, many chapters.
I mean, the named characters probably still dwarfs Lord of the Rings.
Oh, it has to.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings is a lot of characters.
Right, 5 books in Lord of the Rings.
While we're confusing all of our fantasy stuff.
Welcome to the Rings of Power podcast. No, wait, hold on. No, that's
are you
not
guys
it.
Watching? Are you guys watching Rings or Dragon?
I don't have HBO Max and I haven't watched Rings of Power yet.
I haven't watched Rings of Power, but I plan on doing it. And I only watched the first episode of the House of the Dragon because I was like, I don't want to get into this and then have to wait another week. I want to get I want one or two or three, four episodes to do it. But the first episode wasn't bad.
There was two. Didn't it drop two?
It did.
To start
with? It did.
Yeah.
I watched the first one and I was like, I want to get like two or three to, you know, string them together.
Yeah.
Was it good?
At first episode, I thought was good.
I like it. I'm not attached to the written version at all. So they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Same with me.
I'll just be like, what? You didn't read the original Game of Thrones either?
No, I did read the original Game of Thrones. I actually did read this book, but this book is one, it's one book. Actually, I say read, I listen to the audiobook. It's like one book and it's like the history of the whole Targaryen. So it's kind of like just,
oh,
You're getting one tiny slice and they're just like expanding on it. So it's
okay.
There's some, like, they're probably going to, there's like high points that they have to hit, maybe, or yeah, maybe not. But other than that,
well, I think they'll tie in a lot of Bran's stuff, you know, like what he saw.
Already has.
Oh, really?
They're moving too. By the third episode, it spans like 7 years. Like they don't like each episode doesn't like span 2 years, but like they do a story and then 2 years later they do a story. But it still goes together really well because that those fucking politics move slow. So
yeah. Well, as somebody who read all of them and watched that show, I thought they crushed it. I mean, obviously it got a little fantastic. They got a little fantastic at the end, you know, when they're fighting the Whites in, you know, north of the wall. But I mean, what are you going to do? It's got to be epic to end it, right?
Well, and you have no idea what actually was in the book. So you can't compare it. That's the one thing that you can't compare it to.
Yeah. That's what's kind of aggravating, actually, is that he won't finish the fucking books.
Yeah.
I want to see his vision for it. And I don't care if it's different. As far as I know that story. What is his story? You know, it's like sometimes legends, you know, they change over the years or, you know, they change through tellings and stuff. So,
well, it's going to be like, it's going to be either two annoying things. It's going to be so close to the show. You're going to be like, I already saw the show, dude.
Why did I even, yeah, like when they released the Phantom Menace book,
it's yeah, got
like 4 pages. You're like, that wasn't in the movie. It was amazing. Like, no, it was like 4 lines. So just calm down.
And, or he's going to go so far left that he's just trying so hard to not be the show.
It's not even the same show.
Yeah, it's like you're just making it not the show now.
And then the White Walkers rode up on My Little Ponies. What?
Well, the thing I thought that they did the best on that show is they would combine characters and they would combine storylines. But the storyline still matched what the book was doing. It always ended in the same, relatively the same.
Yeah, they did that very well, very well.
Yeah, they did such a good job with that. And I thought,
what's an example? What's an example of a show that did it bad, Jeremy?
There's this one show. We may have talked about it once or twice.
Don't fucking say it. I'll kill you. I will kill you. You are torpedoing our podcast,
especially in this first episode. Oh my god, I have some. I don't know if you guys noticed. I had some notes. The first word I wrote is stupid. Okay.
Okay. You know what? I just want to ask you one question. Seriously.
Okay. Go for it.
Do you still want to be on this podcast?
I do. I do.
Make
it, I do.
We can fire you.
You can make me go away. I know.
You're gonna have to lie sometimes and say you like it.
I'm gonna say one good thing. I'll say one good thing.
That's good because I'll say one bad thing. It will balance out.
Let's get it. Let's get it out now. Let's start.
No, you're gonna have to wait for it.
I'll say my first note was also kind of like, ugh, the dragon reborn may be a girl or a boy.
Yeah.
And I wrote, really? Question mark.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Like, there's no, the book, like you guys have said this a couple times, like there's no real mystery in the book of who the fucking dragon is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a mystery for, like, you know, a half the book, basically. And if you, like Jeremy says about the mystery box thing, if you start going back and, like, once you figure out it's Rand, you go back and look and you're like, fuck, if I had good reading comprehension, I would have kind of picked up on a few things. Maybe not 100% that it was Rand, but you'd be like, okay, because it totally makes sense.
I'll even disagree slightly with you guys that I didn't have very good reading comprehension, obviously, because at the very end of the book, when Moraine says the dragon is reborn, when I was like 14, I was like, what? He's the dragon? Because in the book...
Well, that's what I mean. He's so good at it. It's so subtle. And then when it's like, once you're like, what? And then you think about it and you're like, okay.
But here's the thing. In the beginning, there's the prologue and it's the dragon reborn. Then you read like, I believe it's like a prophecy about the dragon being reborn. Never mentioned again. It's never mentioned again in the books. Go back and read them. It's not mentioned again.
You're right. Fuck.
And so when he gets to the end, you're just like, oh, this poor guy. He's a male who can channel. He's going to die. It just sucks.
You forgot
about the dragon reborn. Which, okay. So if you're an adult, maybe Desmond, like, I was 14 at the time. It probably took me a month to get through this book. By the time I got through it, I was like, oh my God, he's the dragon reborn. I just thought he was a guy who was going to die. You know,
well, you're so blown away once you get to the end. And like, if you remember this, it's like, you know, they're kind of wrapping up the end, you know, they go down, you know, Perrin and Matt come out with the chest and the horn and the banner and everything. And you're just kind of like, we're still kind of reeling from everything just went down. You're like, then the Forsaken are loose. And who is the green guy? And then you're like, wait, oh, that's the dragon.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff that we haven't even talked about from the very beginning of the book.
Well, that's why I almost feel like he planned it to stand alone if no one liked it, you know?
He did. He said if they didn't pick it up, he was going to have something that would be standalone. But, you know, Moraine just keeps saying the Dark One's after you three, and I don't know why. And that's just it. So you don't know.
But she does know why. That's a lie.
Okay. Maybe she doesn't say, I don't know why.
And I'm going to tell you why she knows why.
I think maybe she probably doesn't say, I don't know why, because she can't lie. But she probably says, I need to know why, or something like that.
Yeah.
That makes more sense, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's all about the books. Let's talk about the TV show.
The TV show. I appreciated the cold open this time.
I did too.
Not because it's awesome, but I think for the show, I think you really need to let the viewers know, these Reds, they're going to be a problem. Like, keep your eye on these fuckers.
Or are they just foreshadowing that there's going to be an Aja that's a very big problem?
Oh, probably that. Well, yeah, you're right. At least a group of...
Okay, here's the thing. And Jeremy, maybe this will get you on board a little bit. I feel like Rafe is trying to do a good job with mystery boxes. And here's a couple that I see. That's one of them. The Reds are so bad. It's not. That's setting up for who's actually the really bad Aja. And like, once you go back, you'll be like, oh, dude, it was so obvious that she was fucking hunting for the dragon for different reasons. That's what I think. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. But the other one is, dude, the second.
But she is like, she's like, fuck, man.
But yeah, that's just to cover her zeal for finding the actual dragon. Because if they fucking find and gentle the dragon before anyone even knows who he is.
Yeah,
we win.
True.
You know, you lose again, lose Theron. But one of the first things that caught me about not even the cold open is when Moraine is talking is the Angriel.
Yeah.
The Angriel, dude.
Yep.
And you know what? I didn't see that at the beginning, or if I saw it, I didn't give a fuck what it was. It made nothing to me. And I was watching for shit like that. I was like, dude, that's the Angriel right there. She's got it. She's looking for Rand. Also, question for you guys. We're going to jump around a little bit, I guess. But yeah. Moraine and Rand, right after the cold open, they gentle the guy. And then it flashes to Lan and Moraine. And they're kind of on like this little like cliff ridge type thing. And she's like, it's not him. He's like, are you sure? He could channel. Are they talking about Loghain? Or are they talking about are they watching that shit go down? Are they watching them hunt him and then see him kind of gentle him? Because that's going to take a lot of the power. Moraine's going to be able to see it from a long ways away.
We've already established that anybody can see the power now. Remember that? We talked about it.
No. I'm not just saying that. It's that, do you think she's within sight and knowing that she's watching Lurandrin gentle that guy?
Yeah.
Or is she just spying on Loghain and going, it's not him, we don't have time to deal with him?
No, they're up in the same mountains.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought too, but I was like, I wanted a...
No, they're up in the same mountains.
And that's kind of fucked up in itself, because she's just like, yeah, it's not the guy, so... It's like, you know that's against Tower law.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, because you can gentle anybody.
They're supposed to have a trial, though.
No, because he's...
Unless you're in immediate danger, he's running. It's like shooting somebody in the back and saying, he broke into my house.
I don't think it's the same thing, because he didn't claim to be a false dragon. You could just gentle those guys anywhere. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so, dude. They talk. That's one of the things they talk about. At least in the books, they talk about it, because that's one of the things that they don't do for. They don't have a trial. They don't have anything. It's just you're done.
That's different. That's stilling. That's different.
I know, but it's still the same idea. And when it comes to the gentling, unless they say it in the show, she says it. Is it Alana that comes over? She's like, or no, Kareen, the green that dies, Steppen's lady, Aes Sedai.
No! Oh, sorry.
They're all in the cave, and she's like, you know, that's against Tower law. You know, he wasn't, like, he was captive or whatever. There's a process you're supposed to go through.
I think you're actually right, too, even books-wise, because doesn't Owen, Tom Marilyn's nephew, he gets gentled. And they do something that's wrong, because Moraine gives Tom the names of the people who do it.
Yeah.
Because she's like, they did something wrong. They did something nasty. Like they didn't do them right.
They kind of just rolled up on them. They didn't tell them who they were. And then they gentled them. And then they just left them to die. Usually they take them to the tower and try to either help them or at least parade them around and make them an example.
Yeah, usually it's they'll try to help him if he hasn't done anything wrong, right? If he hasn't, like, used the power to hurt people.
Speaking of cold opens, welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. And what we are doing for the next 8 weeks, folks, give or take, we might, you know, if some cool news drops in, we might sneak that in between. We are rewatching the first season of the Wheel of Time, one episode at a time, one day at a time. We're not going to binge these at all, so each episode gets all the time they do or do not deserve. You be the judge.
I love you, Dez. I swear.
Keeping it professional.
You're such a professional fence sitter.
We are an equal opportunity podcast for all creeds and
whatever you love.
Whatever you love, whatever you hate.
If you have stupid ideas about TV shows like Jeremy, we'll still accept you. Or if you just love everything like my dumbass, we'll still accept you.
Oh, Jeremy, this is such a big fan edit. They're making trailers for it. There is a Kenobi fan edit coming out in December.
Oh,
okay.
So I saw #@WoteFanEdit tweeted about it today.
Nice.
And they're like, they're taking shit from old Star Wars movies and putting it in. They're taking audio from old Star Wars movies.
I'm in.
They're refilming shit. Like, it's one of those total redesign. So
nice.
So now, now that you have Disney Plus, have you finished?
I haven't even started it.
Oh,
I just haven't had the time.
Dude, come on.
I was going to actually watch one this weekend, and what I ended up doing is stumbling upon the Obi-Wan and Vader fight scene, which was pretty cool.
The remade one?
No.
Oh, the old school one?
The one from the show.
Oh, you know, I didn't even watch it. Well, I only watched the one that happens in the third episode or second episode. I think there's another one that's in the last episode, too.
All right, back to notes. I think that cold open is going to pay off for the show.
So here's the thing. After watching that again, I was like, okay, I see what you guys are saying, that it's trying to establish the world. But after watching what just happened, I was like, I don't feel like you know any more about the world. I guess if you're going to set up the mystery of who is the dragon, is it one of these four? Is it an extra one? Here's the thing too. I'm jumping around quite a bit, but Moraine says it's one of you four. But they've clearly established that Nynaeve is one of the four, which would be one of the five.
They say one of the five, but...
No, she says four.
No, two thing. I know, because she herself has eliminated Nynaeve at that point. You want to tell them why? You go ahead, Des.
When they meet in the pool room...
She says she's 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
She immediately decides she's a little too old. Also, Egwene tells her Nynaeve's dead.
That too.
She's like, Nynaeve's gone. She's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, it's not her.
But she also says when she's up right after the cold open, when she's up on the mountain, she says, and this is another thing that they don't explain at all through the rest of the series, there are four Ta'veren in the two rivers.
True. Okay, but what I was trying to explain is after that first episode, they still bring her back and they still add her like she's part of the mystery box, because they say your power, however strong it is nothing compared to what the Dragon Reborns will actually be. Compared to...
Talking to Loghain.
Compared to it would be like a blazing sun. And then when Nynaeve does that big, you know, heal everybody spell, whatever, then he's like, oh, like a blazing sun. So clearly... They're still trying to set her up like, oh, possibly she could still be the dragon.
I took it as just because she displays the power and also she's alive, you know? Moraine's like, fuck, maybe I'm wrong, you know? Like, that's all I took it as.
But that's also bad. That's just all bad storytelling.
No, for a TV show.
His favorite movie is books, Desmond, okay? That's his problem. All right, that's his problem.
It is, because, yeah, if you're just thinking about the TV show, it's made like a TV show. They just want they want your eyes on as many people as possible until you can't anymore. So they've given you all the clues you need to know as an educated viewer that she's out. But she's a powerful badass that we need to keep our eye on, whether she's the dragon or not. She's someone
who's important to the story. Yeah.
The viewer that we need to keep our eye on.
I don't think that they eliminated her. I think that they were like, well, let's keep her in there. Does it make any sense for them to add that text of like a blazing sun?
It does if you're a person who doesn't have internet or anything like that to know if these people are still alive or any kind of research. You just have your knowledge at that point, and then you're in this backwoods little village. Keep in mind, they don't even have Tel and Riad to communicate at this point. She's just going by what she has known for the last 25 years and her experience. So she's like, well, you seem like you're too old, but you're really powerful later on. You're dead, so I'm hoping you're not that person. And then you come back and display this power, and you keep kind of, you know, in the way she shows how strong she is, in the cave she shows how strong she is. So I think it's almost like one of those things like, I really didn't think it was you, but I kind of can't ignore what I'm seeing. And I don't have any outsized reference.
You're talking about it from the character's point of view.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it from the writing point of view. They should have been like, okay, at this point, you've eliminated her so that you can start focusing on the person who is actually the Dragon Reborn and setting up more clues toward that person.
I think you're being overly critical, but okay.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
If you think that's bad, wait till I get going.
I'll be curious to get to the exact point you're talking about to see how much they try to rein in that, like, because it exists, like I said, after watching the first episode, it's easy to think that Nynaeve is out, and I understand why, from a storytelling perspective, you might want the people halfway through the season to go, huh, maybe she's not out.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I took it.
If you re-listen to the episode with the editor, he's the one who brought this point up. He said, they don't set up Rand as being the Dragon Reborn.
Yeah.
If you look back, they say it's more obvious that it's Nynaeve.
But I feel like they did that on purpose, so it would be more of a red herring, because two things. I think that they did it because of the simple fact that I think they had more things in store for episodes 6, 7, and 8, and they just couldn't do it.
That I believe, yeah.
And so they chose to, like, I feel like they had some stuff that they maybe were like, we're going to do this. And then all of a sudden they realized between COVID and budget how restricted they were going to be. And they had to, like, I feel like they opted for backstory over story in the first season. I feel like the second season is going to be almost so fast you can't keep up with it, because there's going to be so many new characters, so many new locations, and so much shit going on.
I think the first season is more story than backstory, especially watching this first episode. There's almost no setup for the characters. Brand, Perrin, Matt.
I mean, I guess that's right, because there's no backstory. You don't get any before, but yeah.
There's zero. There's almost none.
That's what I'm trying to say. You're saying it better. It's like they're trying to immerse you right in that moment is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, they're like, here forward. Let's go.
And they're trying to keep you as kind of like, one of the things in the prologue, one of the things that in our previous podcast, Des asked Jeremy a question about, you know, or I think it was maybe the last one. It was like, hey, are the Dark One and the dragon, you know, the same? It's like, no, they're actually polar opposites. But as they read the prologue, they don't distinguish. When the time of madness came, they're just like, oh, an arrogant man tried to do this, and then all this happened. So they really kind of leave it ambiguous. It's like, is he bad? Is he good? Who caused this? And it's like, so I could totally see why you had that as a thought. Like, okay,
yeah.
Are they the same? Because they kind of set it up that way.
That prologue too, before the Lorraine part, that was, I was the same as you, Justin. Like, I didn't even remember that scene. And now this time it's like, oh, there's a few things here to be noticed. Something else that I was like, okay, again, not the same as the books. We're telling a different kind of story. The scene where Rand and Egwene are just sitting looking out, and Rand's thinking about the life he wants, you know, knowing now that he's probably not going to have it because Egwene's going to be the wisdom. That now makes sense with what the Dark One puts him through at the end.
Yeah.
The vision he sees, like what he wants more than anything now. Like he wanted to marry and have babies with Egwene anyways, but now that that can't happen, that is absolutely his biggest dream and the one that the Dark One would want to tempt him with.
But you get to see Rand's character right away to see like how much he's like, that's not what she wants, and I don't want it this way. I don't want it against her will.
Right.
You know, it's not, you know, he's like, I don't want it that's not the way I want it to happen.
And I thought with that same scene, Like, they could have eliminated the whole plot about her being the wisdom and not being able to marry, because she eventually wants to be an Aes Sedai. So it's the same thing. So now, if you eliminate that part, now you have better time to set up your characters. There's a whole scene where Perrin, Matt, and Rand sit down. And I was like, oh, sweet. We're going to get to see these guys sit and talk. And Matt goes, all right, out with it. What's going on? And he's like, what? He's like, something happened with Egwene. And Rand grabs his like mug of ale, takes a sip out of it, and they cut away. And I was like, what? What the heck? And I was like, literally, like, Rand says something, or Matt says something, Perrin says something, Rand goes, yep. And then boom.
He's like, yeah, we haven't had a chance to talk yet. Cut away.
The best scene, though, is like when Matt, Rand, and Perrin are all sitting around dicing, and Matt's like making jokes and all that stuff. And it's funny and it's great. And those characters are great together. And honestly, I really like Rand and Egwene as a couple. They're great, like two great actors, but like their scenes together are just like mishmash garbly gook.
There's no chemistry.
No, well, I think there could be. I think it's that the dialogue is just garbage.
No, there isn't. I almost hope that that's purposeful, but again, probably giving way too much credit, because that's kind of how they are in the books.
Yes.
They seem, from day one, they don't seem like they're betrothed. They seem like they're brother and sister.
They're 18 and 16, right? They're 18 and 16. She's 16, he's 18.
Yeah, there's no sex in the book. Yucky.
Yeah, so they're like, he's like fumbling around, like oh gosh, I don't know what to say, and she's kind of like the same, and so it's completely different.
No wonder, because yeah, he's always talking about her like he's bitching about his wife of 40 years.
I know. He's been married to her since he was 9.
Totally, but this has been puppy love.
The old ball and chain. We're 7 and 8.
And so she's like, you know, she's 16 about it.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, and he's a couple years older, and like, you know, I mean, I assume that, you know, like most fantasy worlds, like 18 in this world is like...
I thought you were going to get married and have my babies when I had boners. What the fuck? Then I'd shave the sheep all day and grow tobacco.
I used to pick berries for you, bitch.
I love that scene too, where he's like, my dad said I used to pick strawberries for her, and he pulls out the world's smallest strawberry, and he's like holding it between two little fingers. But the best part though is of the whole episode, that of literally she's like, was that been in your pocket all day? I was like, that got a true laugh out of me, man. I was like, okay,
why is it all warm and slimy?
Do you want a gummy bear? It's been in my pocket all day.
Got lint all over.
And she just takes it and flicks it like in the Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Well, and why does Tam take a shot at his mom, dude?
I hated that.
Yeah, your mom could drink. She's dead. She's like, she's dead. Yeah, she could drink though. Ugh, you know, your mom's dead, but she was a total alky. It's all good. I was like, damn. I didn't notice that the first time. I was like, Tam, whoa, dude. Like, he doesn't even know her.
Maybe she drank herself to death.
I know you've never really even met your mom and have zero memories, but she was a total alcoholic. Make sure you burn that in.
Oh my God. Yeah, I wrote that down too. I was like, why would you say that?
Also, you know what? I'd say I might drink too if you went away to war and came back with a Heron Mark sword and a baby.
That's where he met her. That's where he met her. He met her out. She was an Outlander.
Well, you know, he still came back from a war with a baby. That's weird.
His wife?
Yeah, his wife was aware.
Carrie Althor was. No, she was from Emensfield.
No, she wasn't. He was.
She was? Oh, she was Outlander. That's right. He was. He went home. Yeah, with an Outlander wife.
Yeah, with an Outlander wife. And that's why they were like, oh, you have red hair because your mom is not from around here.
Well, and like, while we're on a lighter note, can we just talk about like the, hey, you know, it's my honor to welcome you to the women's circle. Enjoy this freezing river. Just trust this freezing river in all of your heavy clothes. Don't drown. So if you don't drown, do you still get to be in the...
Shove!
That's how you pass or what?
Dude, so stupid. So dumb.
Well, and then she's just like, like, they're just like, oh yeah, I forgot. I need to relax and I'll be fine. Again, like other things we've talked about.
Yeah.
Just relax.
If you watch... Okay, if you've read the books, you understand that that's how women use the one power. They have to channel it, right? Like, it's a raging river.
I get it, but that's dumb as shit, this whole thing.
But it is. It's super dumb, because they say nothing about it before or after.
You know what? You covered it in the origins. Leave it there.
Even... You know what? It would have been 10 times as better if Nynaeve would have just said, trust the river and jump in.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Like if Egwene would have stood there, had second thoughts, took a deep breath and then jumped, it would have been so much better than shove.
Just what he said.
I agree. Totally, 100%.
What he said. Twice. Yep.
I didn't even think about that until right now. That like that's all they had to do to make that better.
Yeah, and so go ahead. Sorry. No.
I'm just gonna ram. I was gonna try to move the conversation along and quit cracking jokes like an asshole.
So then I'm just moving along to where the point where
these will only be an hour. Good fucking luck, Des.
It's gonna be 2 hours, and you're gonna have to cut it down.
Not even halfway through my first page, and we're going to get it all.
Awesome.
So when Lan walks in, and Nynaeve walks like out in the middle of the whole inn, and is like, she's like, name yourself, stranger. Like, why would you name, why would you have, he's like, Lan Mandragoran. She's like, the Lan Mandragoran?
I know. I know. It's like, name yourself, stranger. I was getting ready to. I just took my hood off and walked in from the rain. Can you give me a second?
How about just like, hey, how you doing? Welcome to our inn. Not my inn. Hit that guy's inn. Why didn't he walk up and say like, hey, how can I help you?
What's going down with y'all? Long ride? Why the long face?
Like puts her hand on her dagger and is like, name yourself.
But that's her.
You know, that's some country shit though. Because you don't just, it's like when you live in the country, you don't just pull up to someone's house who has like a mile long driveway. Like you might get shot or, you know, sold into sex slavery. You don't know.
And she's got beef with everybody in the books.
Oh, we'll get into that too.
Yeah. She is the protector of her village and she don't even know. She's like, we're not having it.
You're right. If someone showed up to my house and walked down my driveway, and I do have like a half mile long driveway, I would be like, what are you doing here?
Name yourself, stranger.
But here's the thing. If my house was an inn, I wouldn't.
Where I wanted to serve people who came in, I probably would be a little more welcoming. It's called the hospitality business. Let's be hospitable.
And this guy's never even worked in a restaurant. He knows that.
Seriously. Yeah, and if someone was
the
there.
Problem. He's never worked in a restaurant. Like people act up. You get the fuck out of here. You're familiar with the term 86, bitch?
But if someone was there drinking and then someone walked in and came in from the rain and they're like, name yourself, stranger. I'd be like, hey, shut up. This is my inn. I'll ask these people these questions. And number one is, how are you? And would you like to come in?
Do you have money?
You know what, Jeremy? If you've ever worked or been a regular at a freaking really divey bar, though, you'll have regulars go, who the fuck are you if you aren't a regular? When we first moved up here, we went into this bar like, oh, we can probably get a drink here. Maybe like a sandwich or something. We walked in, it was just like,
record scratch.
Fucking city folk.
You know that guy at the coffee shop who always knows what you want? He doesn't like you. He hates your fucking guts and wants you to get the fuck out. That's why he's like, here's your mocha. Go.
Yeah, get out. 20, 20.
Like, oh, here's the guy with the special order again. Oh my gosh.
It's like, here's your triple vente, double calf, decaf, tip jars right here. Doors over there.
Can I say this? The customer base I have up here, I got some winners, but man, they're the best. They're the best. I get invited to barbecues every fucking weekend. Like, they're just like, what's up, bro?
Dude, you've earned it. You have fucking earned it.
Do you need some goats or some chickens or something? Because I got some extra ones. Enough bashing of the show. I do want to say Eamon's Field looks amazing.
Agreed. The sets are great.
It's really good.
The wine spring is great. The wine spring looks amazing.
The wine spring is great. The costumes are amazing. Like the Aes Sedai rings are a little bit more overstated. I don't like those, but I kind of get it for TV.
Sure.
It'll allow you to be, she can kind of be like, you know, when they're a little bit more clandestine later on, they'll still kind of have their rings or they'll you know, ditch them or whatever. So I kind of like that. So you can like identify them and it plays in with Eamon Valda's, you know, collecting rings like lightsabers, like Boba Fett. So I don't mind that either. So that's good too. And she comes in flexing that ring too. She's like, I need a ring. I need a ring.
You mean like General Grievous?
She's like, I need a room and some shit for our horses. And she's like, flex.
You said like Boba Fett. You need to like General Grievous.
Oh, Grievous. Didn't Fett collect lightsabers too?
No. You're going to lose your Star Wars cred, bro.
Beep, 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 beep. I read more books than you that aren't canon, so I can say whatever.
That man is true.
Now, I know there's only so many colors in the rainbow, but I felt like when they were on top of the cliff about to push Egwene in, all the women sitting around were all, I think all the colors, all the Ajahs were represented.
What?
In all the women's clothes.
Yeah, and then she jumps up. I think you're right, because then she kind of jumps up in the pool or whatever when, is it Nynaeve? Jumps up in the pool, she's got colors all over her face too.
No, that was a scene they cut.
Oh.
It was Egwene.
Okay.
That was a scene they cut. They showed it in the previews, but then they cut that scene. Yeah.
But I think the colors of the Ajahs were in on her face.
They were it was all the colors of the Ajah, which doesn't make any sense when you think about it for the two rivers.
I know it doesn't make sense, but I somehow still think it's too cool.
Yeah, it is. It was kind of cool how like they did it. Like it got it to like stick to her. Like maybe if it wasn't CGI, was it? How do you get that stuff to stick to your face like that?
Thick paint or semen.
What's that?
paraffin wax.
you'll have to cut that out. We can't say that.
We can't.
Oh, I haven't seen this picture yet. I'm looking it up. Oh, she's in a pool in the like
the sacred pool or whatever that
the one that Nynaeve's cleaning because she's cleaning the colors off.
Yeah. Moraine kind of dogs her. She's like, why are you cleaning? You're supposed to be important here. Why are you cleaning this stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's rad.
But she's cleaning the colors.
Oh.
It's the scene they cut. She's cleaning all the colors of the paint of all the stuff that they put in there.
Yeah.
Speaking of thank the light, there was three definite thank the lights in this episode. I think maybe four.
Wow.
Yeah. There was a...
Like, people like, oh, thank the light, you're safe.
Yeah.
I know there was two definite ones. I'm like 96% sure I caught a third one. And I'm stoned. I might have watched the same part twice.
The fourth one was like deer light. One of them was Deer Light.
Yes, like I did hear that.
D-E-A-R.
Maybe that was the fourth one.
That might have been the fourth one.
But there are 200% Thank the Light for sure.
I'm pretty sure it was D-E-E-R. D-E-E-R Light. It's Deer Lights.
Whoa.
I'm drinking here. Sorry.
No, I meant to say Dead Lights, like in It.
The Dead Lights.
I do like the Eamon Fielders hearing about Loghain too, like, you know, that
mm-hmm.
stuff travels pretty quickly enough anyway.
Okay, so there's something. So I started watching it with the subtitles on just to see if I caught anything different. There's the scene where right after Moraine shows up, Rand and Perrin are sitting by the window and they're talking, and Nynaeve walks up and says, I don't care what she's doing, but yeah, okay, hold on, I'll get to it. I don't care what she's doing. I just want her to move along. And then she looks at Perrin and goes, where's your wife? Blah, blah, blah. And then so Perrin goes back.
Bellows are hard. Iron's hard to work alone. And she basically just sends him fucking. She's like, basically, take your ass home.
She sends him packing.
Yeah. Like, what? I have a note that says, what the fuck was that about?
Okay. That's not even the part that I'm talking about. The part that I'm talking about is Perrin walks in and he talks to his wife and says, I'm quoting this. They say you didn't even go to her ceremony. So he's talking about Egwene. And then he walks up and puts his arms around her and then says, I love you. So they're setting up the love, like, that he cared about Egwene and she was jealous? Because...
Yeah. There's another thing where they tell some...
Did you catch that already, Justin? Like, you caught that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I never caught that.
And then they talk about it later. There's a... I can't remember... Nynaeve says stop fighting over her like she's a something to be won or something like
that. Yeah, that's way down the road. I just didn't think that they had set it up.
No, and there's the I think when it's just Perrin and Egwene, there's a couple of moments where he has a couple like mouth open longing looks at her. Was that a bunch of clips that you sent me talking about his mouth being open or just the one?
Just the one.
I thought it was like because I just got the one. I was like, oh god, is that like seven of them? Like Perrin snapped his mouth shut. Perrin's mouth hung agape. I was going to die. I already died on the first one. I'm just like, ah!
Of course you did. Of course you did.
So he does. Maybe he's a great actor. He's just getting in. He's like, hey, Perrin's mouth's open a lot.
I started watching for it now, too.
I hate how they did Matt's family. I still hate it, dude. I still hate it.
I still do. Yeah, I do not like it either. Like making them all drunks and yeah, just and drunks and poor. Like Matt's family's not drunk and poor. They're just hardworking people.
Yeah, his dad's a successful horse trader, dude. I love how he protects his sisters and stuff, but just the way they did his family just sucks.
Oh, and so another thing. So what is the deal with all the strife between Perrin and his wife then? Is it just the Egwene thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Des, as someone who only read the first book and has no, like, you just came into this, you want to watch the show. What do you see when you see that? For me, I have no idea what's going on.
I don't know. I just thought it was, to me, it made sense along with Nynaeve chastising Lan the second he walked in. Like, that to me set up Nynaeve as being take no prisoners kind of girl more than anything. Yeah. Because for me, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble answering the question because all I can think about is why the fuck so many things I have felt are set up in this first episode that I'm like, okay, this is going to pay off for the show. The two things that I'm stuck on that I'm like, why are they doing this is Matt's parents being assholes. Does he need that? Because a lot of times in a show, you can't be a smart ass if you come from a good family. So like his like smarmy, asshole-ish, you know, joking ways comes from that. And then Perrin killing his wife. Like what are they doing?
I don't know what it does for it either.
That's my note. I'm just like, I had to say, it's the significance of Perrin killing his wife. Like, why? Is it some sort of a future setup, mystery box sort of thing? I'm like, I've been trying to think ahead, trying to like weigh knowledge of the book. I'm just like, you know, the Matt thing, I guess I kind of get it to make it a little more hit you over the head. But like from the book, he has four sisters, I think. And so he's the only boy and he's just constantly getting into shit. Because he's the only boy and he just is like, I'm fucking bored.
Who are the three lanterns for? They make such a big deal about him getting lanterns.
His sisters.
Is one of his sisters, so three of his sisters are dead?
No.
No, who are they lighting the lanterns
for? He's going to light a lantern and the other two sisters are going to light one.
For who?
Each for the sister. They each want to light one for the sister.
Yeah, but it's just for your relatives. It's not like for anyone specific.
Because Rand and his dad were lighting one for mom, like for a specific person. So I was wondering why, like, if like the fourth sister, like Matt's fourth sister died or something.
Well, maybe.
I mean, we only see two, so.
No, I just don't.
I'm thinking that one of his sister died because she could channel and lost that, you know, that she died from channeling sickness.
Yeah, but there's nothing that says that in the show, right?
There's nothing that doesn't say it in the show.
I like to make believe.
Okay, you're 100% sure.
Do you see a body, Jeremy? Do you see a body?
That's true. There's a, I'm the exception.
Jeremy, it's a fantasy show.
Sorry. So any fantasy that you have can be a part of the show.
This guy watches Game of Thrones and says, of course there's dragons.
Have you not seen dragons?
I saw this tweet. It's like, if you watch a show that has dragons, elves, and, you know, other mystical creatures, and then the color of the people that are casted is your issue, the writers aren't the fucking problem, okay?
Can we just say that anybody who's got a problem with there being non-whites in Lord of the Rings, eat a bag of multiracial dicks.
Or any show.
Yeah, so many. The biggest ones I could find, because you guys suck asses. Or any show.
Or any show.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, somebody said to me in person, was like, well, yeah, but you know, I hate it when it's like a historical character that they change. I go, oh, you mean like fucking Jesus? Yeah, he wasn't a white dude. Yeah. He wasn't a white guy. Whether you can argue the debate if he was a real guy or things he did or whatever, he was not Caucasian.
Unless he was from Nebraska.
And it's just like, so, you know, that's right out the window right there. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a take on a story.
Being told in 2022.
Deal with it, you fucking losers. Man, those elves were never black. Did you just hear what you said? First of all, Ludacris was in Fred Claus as an elf, and he's black. So you're wrong.
You're all wrong.
It all comes back to Fred Claus in the end, doesn't it?
It always comes back to Fred Claus. So do we think that them being able to sense Shadowspawn, that's definitely canon for the show, right? Because Lan's like, oh, there's a fade here already. That's one of the things I noticed. Jeremy, what do you think?
Maybe. I don't know.
God, it's like pulling teeth to this guy to get one thing positive out of him. I'm like, can we just Be positive.
It's so there was the scene where she's like, "Do you think that there's been an eyeless? The eyeless is here already." And he doesn't say anything. And then she goes, "Well, then we both have work to do." And I was like, "He didn't say anything though. You have to go back and watch the scene."
It's the Bond. It's the Bond. I just watched it. It's the Bond, bro. He can just think it, man.
Sure. No, I don't. That's not how it works.
I hate you. I think I say I hate you once a pod since you joined.
Oh, no. You've said it like three times already this podcast.
Making up for the other one.
So, okay, here's what I don't understand. Why is Nynaeve so angry at Moraine instantly? She's angry at her instantly.
Everybody, that's straight out of the fucking book.
No.
She fucking hates Aes Sedai.
No, she doesn't hate Aes Sedai. She starts hating her when she starts asking like all the questions. Like, what are you asking questions about? What are you doing here? What's going on? Now, Moraine walks in and she hates her instantly. Moraine doesn't talk to Matt, Rand, or Perrin until the very end after the fights are over. She doesn't say one word to them. And she doesn't even say it to Egwene either. She doesn't talk to either any of them.
Tell me one person Nynaeve runs into in the book where she says, "Hi, stranger. Nice to meet you."
Good point. She, okay.
That's just kind of Nynaeve's face.
Hold on. Let me think. Dez, you have a good point.
Yes, Dez.
I see the point.
That rubs me the wrong way all the time in the book. I'm like, calm down.
To be honest with you, her character is more likable on the TV show. I agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like Nynaeve, but it takes me a long time to get there in the books because she does some cool shit. But like,
yes.
She does so many dumb things and you're just like, ah. Yeah, they took away her annoyance in the TV show and I love it.
See, I can be wrong. I can be wrong. And Dez just proved it. Dez just proved it.
Woo-hoo! Clip that. I want you to end every show that with Jeremy. I could be wrong.
I can be wrong. I'm usually not. I could be wrong. This show might be good.
I could be wrong.
asshole.
So before we get too far away from it, what's the pool? What's the sacred pool? Like what's, because I don't think we're ever going to come back to it. Do they touch on it ever in the book or anything?
I'm never going to talk about it again because they never talked about it before.
Never.
Does it even, it comes up in the book for a second though too, doesn't it?
Nope.
Oh, I thought it did.
They talk about the wine spring water and that, but no, nothing like that.
Oh, so that really was just like, that was only, so that's kind of the only reason they left that in, since they cut out the part where Egwene comes up with all the Ajahs on her, like, what am I going to be? They probably should have cut that scene out with Nynaeve, but they left it in for Moraine to say, oh, you're 25 or 26, never mind, which is a good thing.
So here, I have another question for you too, Justin. I totally agree with you, Desmond. They probably should have cut that or at least reshot it to where it made more sense. But Justin, so remember you had the thought that Perrin's wife was actually going to be a dark friend?
Yeah.
That didn't happen in the first season. Will it be too late if let's say that what you're saying is correct? Will it be too late if they bring it up through in the second season? I think it would be too late, don't you?
It depends on how they do it. I mean, like you could like have Moraine talking about, or you know, them kind of meeting up and talking about like people that they've come across, like realizing that Pod and Fane is a dark friend, and you know this and that, and then like him realizing like, oh man, she was trying to kill me. Because that's one of the things that it's just like, her hammer was raised, dude, for Killshot. There's no other Trollocs around. So what the fuck was she doing?
Well, he had just killed a Trolloc. So, like, he's hacking.
Not between him and her.
You hear a growl behind her, like, behind him. Like, he swings toward a growl.
Oh.
So what's growling? Because there's nothing behind him but his wife.
Do you still think that that's what's going to happen? That she's going to be a dark friend?
I don't see how it couldn't be unless they just don't address it. I mean, there's no reason. He's just massacring the last Trolloc. The rest are gone. And she's full double hands with the hammer behind her head. So what's she going to do?
I mean, it would be, I think that also, so if we're talking about a TV show, right?
We're not talking about the books?
We're talking about the TV show. We're not talking about the books.
Oh, good. Good. I like the TV show.
So we're talking about the TV show.
I hate you.
So if you're going to have somebody kill someone accidentally, she can't have her back turned. Like, I just killed this Trolloc, right? She can't have her back turned to him. And he turns around and just whacks her with an axe. She's coming up to help him, raised the hammers above her head.
Oh, maybe going to, because the Trolloc is on the ground and he's massive. Maybe she's going to maybe she's going to smash its head or something with the thing. And then he just, when he spins around, it kind of puts him in between them or something, you know?
There's no other way to make it be an accident, right? Like, in my opinion, I don't understand how
you... Well, that's what I'm saying. Why would you have her other... She's just standing there kind of like ready to go and then like, ugh!
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't need to be like this for him to be quick enough to kill her. She could just be like, ugh, and catch it, you know? Like, there's no reason for her to be ready to strike him. Or, you know, like I said, that Trolloc's pretty much done. He's already put it down and he's just turning it to Trolloc meat, fucking ground Trolloc meat at that point. So, you know, even if she's like ready to hit it, she could be here, not like mid, seems like she's mid swing, is what I'm saying.
I'm still convinced she was pregnant.
I think she was pregnant too.
The way he had his hands.
Yeah, because they did it like three times. They didn't just hold hands. They didn't hug. It was focusing on the belly with their hands together. So could that be a dark friend? Like if she gives birth, is that going to be a...
The anti-dragon. No.
An eyeless or what? Like,
it depends on who got her pregnant, I guess.
That's true. Matt's dad, probably. Based on the show.
Probably.
The dead goats. When Lan goes hunting for dead goats, did you notice the shape they were in?
They're in the dragon's fang.
Yep. Just half of it, too. It didn't have the full circle. But it had the one sinewy line.
Yeah, because half of it is the Flame of Tarvalin.
Yeah.
And the other half is the Dragon's Fang.
Again, makes no sense. Why would the Trollocs do that?
Why would Trollocs write a fucking tome on a brick wall with blood?
Yeah. Why would they drain four people to...
They didn't. Padden Fain did it.
No, it was in several different handwritings.
Yeah, I guess the Trollocs did write some of it.
No. What they're saying about that is he has like multiple personalities.
Oh.
Padden Fain has multiple personalities.
That makes sense.
Padden Fain could have been spreading those goats too. He was in town fucking around with his buddies.
It's true. Didn't even think about that.
Might have been a drag car.
That was another thing too, is Padden Fain is a great character and the guy who plays him is a really good actor.
God, he's so creepy with his giant fucking Cheshire cat teeth.
But he's also like, he has that great smile like that could draw you in, but it's almost like it, you know, where you're like, oh, when he turns.
No, it's hella evil. I'm saying Cheshire cat, dude.
No, what I'm saying is it could be inviting too, but then when it turns, it's just like, oh my gosh, scary. I wish they would have established his character a little bit more. Like, oh, he's this nice guy everybody loves and he comes around and then, oh my gosh, he's the personification of pure evil.
They did it, but they did it crazy fast.
Too fast. It was too fast.
Yeah, him fucking around with the kids and being nice to Matt.
Yeah.
That was it. And they just, I bet you there's 10 more minutes of that on the cutting room floor. They're just like, let's go.
Well, and just the Trollocs, when the Trollocs do show up, it's just, fuck, dude. That is one of the things that, like, they really couldn't fail at the Trollocs. Like, when he's coming to town, right when the Fade comes into town the night before when it's raining, you hear his whistling under the rain until it flashes to the next day, and then he's riding into town whistling, which was, I thought, was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And this is when the Trollocs show up. It's just like I said, they couldn't fail with the Trollocs and the way they show up and what they look like. And the thing that still gets me, actually, it's right before Matt has a stare down with it, but the one Trolloc, like, Matt's kind of like scrambling through the village trying to find his sister, and the one is just like already stopped killing and is too busy like eating someone on all fours. And Matt like kind of stops on all fours and like
he stumbles over him, he falls over him backwards.
He falls over and then he kind of stops and he's on all fours and like he stops moving, and him and the Trolloc are like eye to eye almost. I mean, there's a few feet between him, and the Trolloc more or less goes back to eating, but Matt just kind of like, it's not even fear, it's almost like a morbid fascination and curiosity. Like, he's obviously scared because it's like he's in shock at what the fuck, but he's not as afraid as everybody else. He pauses and is just like, what the fuck am I seeing? And then he's like, okay, I got to find my sisters. When it's just like, there's that minute where it's like, dude.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think it really captures that. Like, I remember when they first started talking about the Trollocs and them eating people and shit, I was just like, was kind of like, imagine that. I had that look on my face.
Moraine's magic movements are still terrible.
What?
It's still terrible. Oh my gosh.
Why?
It's a little, I mean, some of them are bad, some are good. That one killed me. The other one, a couple times throwing the fireballs, it's...
Did you really like it, Des?
It's a show. We need motion.
The only one I didn't like was the first one with the fireballs.
She can't just be standing there while a house crumbles behind her and throws bricks.
No, but like, okay, Scarlet Witch.
The only one I thought was over the top is where she does the
Scarlet Witch. She just does her, like, you know, little things, and it's just as impressive. She's not like bending over backwards and throwing both of her arms, and it's more impressive.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, because let's put it this way: when she goes like this and like fucking nods and flicks the sword and kills that fucking Trolloc, that's way more badass to me than the whole, like,
way more cool
theatrical. Like, you can't see me, but I'm like, when she does the whole thing and then brings out all the fireballs, like, that's the only one that's too much for me. It's like, I almost feel like they were feeling it out and they're like, mm-mm, I don't like that. Because you don't see it anymore after that. All the rest of the channeling after that is much more subtle.
You know, it makes me wonder too, like, is it more difficult to have her walking and like doing this, throwing fireballs, calling lightning and all that stuff? She just stands in one spot basically and kills everybody from that one spot.
Maybe.
So that's got to be it, right?
Special effects wise, that's way easier.
Yeah. But one of my big problems is how she calls down lightning and it only hits the Trollocs. She shouldn't be able to do that. She comments in The Dragon Reborn because Rand does something like that and he ends up killing a bunch of his own people by accident.
Yeah.
And they're like, you shouldn't be able to do that. But then later on, Rand does some shit like that, and he just literally, like, that time when he, like, the other time when he just closes his fist, and then just everything that's, you know, Shadow Spawn is just fucking gone.
Yeah.
Nothing even happens. There's no thunderclap. There's no lightning. It's just, you're all dead. Fucking Thanos.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. A little subtlety can go a long ways, but it doesn't bother me. Yeah.
Okay.
Considering the amount of energy she's trying to harness from the planet, and especially, like, when she's physically, like, basically, for all intents and purposes, she's physically throwing a house.
See, that I like. When she's, like, reaching back, almost like she's grabbing the brick. Like, she, you can see they show the power go in between the mortar and, like, kind of wrap around. And then she's, like, wham, wham, wham. It's, like, almost like she's fucking loading the cannon, dude. And then boom, boom, boom. That one I was fine with. And it certainly didn't take away. I feel like what you're asking was the main one where she's very theatrical. And I could see where you and I don't like it, but someone who's never seen it kind of needs that. Just as their first introduction to the power, you get to see, like, yeah, there's some hand movements necessary. Maybe even more so when she's doing some big shit. But that's not. It's like, we're going to show it to you this time and then move on.
You know what? What we've totally forgotten is Rosamund Pike is English. And when she's throwing the big fireball, she's inbounding. And when she's trying, obviously... obviously, when she's trying to throw the rocks, you know, she's English. She's never thrown anything overhand in her life, you know, never played softball or baseball. She doesn't know.
She didn't play cricket.
Never played cricket. Yeah, exactly. So, well, even if she did, she'd have to throw it with a straight arm. So she has no idea how to throw. Hey, guess what? She could outkick every single one of us. Guaranteed.
Yes, she could. The one thing I fucking loved was watching Lan dance around Moraine.
Yeah, that was cool.
Killing Trollocs while she's, like, that was a really good visual. Like, this is what a warder does. Like, keeps her safe.
Exactly. I actually have a note. It says, like, dude, now you see why a warder is necessary, because they're kind of busy doing other shit. They got to keep someone from, like, coming, sticking them in the back, you know? I love that, too.
Yeah, they'd be killed very easily without a warder.
There's one other thing that really that bugged me, and I understand, again, it's a TV show, and there's difficulties in shooting things. But when Tam fights the Trolloc in the house, it would have been so much cooler if he would have killed like three or four Trollocs.
Yeah.
Like,
and
so fast, like killed them all like super fast.
He doesn't even kill one, does he?
He doesn't. He doesn't even get one.
Yeah, Rand kills it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in the book, he kills like 10.
Yeah, he kills. I think it's.
Well, he kills a couple in the house, but he kills a couple on his way away from the house, too.
That's true. There's three dead ones in the house, and then there's a fourth one laying there, and it's the one that stands up and says he's...
Narg
waiting. You know, he's waiting. Yeah, Narg waiting for you.
Narg smart.
Fuck, he just snatches Nynaeve.
Yeah, dude.
That's not a scuffle at all. He's just like...
I do love how, like, the fucking one Trolloc just shouts at Nynaeve, and then she's just like, ah, back with her little knife. She's got a little paring knife. She's like, ah, like, you're badass, dude. I'll tell you what, that's my wife right there. Fucking, you're going to fuck with my people? Ah, I'll cut you.
That's right out of the books, too. Like, in the books, not a lot of people die when the Trollocs come and fight.
No, they just kind of come and fuck the... Eamon's filled up because they're...
And if the people fight back instantly. Like, they're like, what's going on? We'll grab anything, and they start fighting.
Yeah, that's a couple of my notes. They're you know, they're shocked at first, and then they just, let's go. And it's foreshadowing the Menetherin part of their blood, and then I'm actually really excited. You know, Dez, this is a little bit spoiler alert for you. They don't stop fucking with the Two Rivers, even though the boys are gone.
Oh, really?
They keep scouring. They keep like trying to like get, you know, if we fuck up his home enough, you know, the Dragon Reborn will come back and then we'll catch him, you know, we'll get him, you know, and so they just keep flaying the Two Rivers. And, you know, eventually one of them does go back and it's really cool and they really rebuild it. And going back, and I actually am really the Eamon's Fielders fight, you know, like they turn from farmers to fighters, and I really hope that they do that storyline justice, because I think it's important and I think it's really cool.
So just to let you know where I'm at, they just, I guess not just, but in the Great Hunt, they are at, so they hooked up Perrin's posse and Rand's posse have met up, and they're in the middle of the party at the castle or whatever, playing the great game.
Ooh, at Barthain's Manor? Yes.
It gets good.
Yes. Oh, dude, get ready. Okay, you're start running downhill. It's a race to the end of this book.
Everyone's trying to use Rand as their cuck. It's great.
Well, and like he just kind of met back up with Matt and them guys too. Like Rand was by himself for a while and stuff. I really think you're going to get a lot of that storyline, because I think some of the stuff that we saw is Rand in the Foregate in Carheen.
Yeah. It's too many it's too many characters, right, Jeremy?
It's, yeah. They're going to condense that down to.
That's fine. As long as they end up, you know, as long as they meet with Aludra. Dude, she's so important. You can't not have her.
If you notice in the first episode, what does Tam use to light the lantern with?
Motherfucker. You're right. A match. Oh.
Exactly. He uses a match. Aludra invents matches in the book.
You sure it just wasn't a punk that he lit on a lantern? And can't you just lie to me, you fucking douche? I hate you.
He strikes it. He strikes it.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Not that doesn't mean anything. I mean, because she has a lot of other things that she does. And you're right. So she is important because of how Matt gets into the stone.
Yes.
And I don't know. I mean, you can write that anyway. Matt can not even show up to the stone. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, or he could just like run across an Illuminator's guild and go steal some firework, because that's what he does, because he's a thief.
The fucking fireworks. Jeremy, how you got some hanging chads over there on your notebook?
Last thing I have is the very end of the episode. Moraine does this exposition dump to all our four characters that are still alive, in quotes. And I'm like, you've literally not talked to them one time. You've literally not said one word to them. And she's like, you're leaving with me. And they're like, who are you? Rand, you just hear Rand's dad. And then Rand, the first thing he does is accuse you of bringing the Trollocs to town. And so she's like, now you got to leave with me. And then she goes into this huge exposition dump about one of you is the dragon. Like, set up your story. Set up your characters. Moraine should have been talking to them the whole time, just to try to establish which one it is. Even Lan's asking, like, which one do you think it is? Well, how would she know if she doesn't even talk to them, right? The only person she talks to is Nynaeve. That is it.
The Force?
It's your answer for it. I'll get to that in a second. I was just about ready to say, like, well, she didn't have that much time. She was feeling him out, and then the big battle happened, and she had to move on. But the story, the hero's journey that's as old as time itself, you have to ask Rand to come with you. Rand has to say no, and then someone kills Luke Skywalker's aunt and uncle, and then he's forced to go on a journey. We know how this is supposed to go.
But the destroying of his town... and the threat of it, you're making a joke, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like, she's like, look, fine, don't come with me. They'll just keep coming back until you're all fucking dead and this place doesn't exist anymore. So your choice, come with me or everyone you know is fucked.
And then Hercules has to do his 9 tasks or whatever. And
Aunt Beru and fucking Uncle Owen are dead and Luke doesn't have anyone else because the old hermit's not coming from the dunes or whatever.
But again, so if I'm writing the show, I cut out the whole part.
You're not writing the show.
But if I did in my fan fiction, I cut out the whole part where Egwene and Rand are talking about being the wisdom, because all that's going to go right out the window anyways when she wants to become an Aes Sedai. So what's the point? You could have established more character, in-depth character with Moraine talking to Rand and the kids, and you could have had that more established character between Rand and Matt and Perrin, or Rand and Egwene. Just better stuff. It just...
Yeah, because they're supposed to be such best friends, and they could be just some cats that, you know, hook up on Sundays to play fantasy football. They don't... They're... You don't... It's totally... I do agree with that 100%. Why are we wasting minutes of screen time on stuff like that when you could be developing your story more? If you have unlimited time, or you have 10 episodes and you have some filler that you need, fucking fine. But they don't have that luxury. So they really need to fucking keep it tight. And they, unfortunately, I think TV audiences these days, they don't want that breakneck speed because they don't want it to be over. And it's like, give me fucking 8 episodes that I have to rewatch 12 times because I couldn't catch everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then stretching me out. You know what I mean? I can do without, you know, the 2 episodes about the governor and the 10 episode arc of Walking Dead. Fucking completely unnecessary. All I know is that guy needs to fucking die. That's it. I don't give a fuck that he like saved someone one time. Good job.
Oh God, I forgot. Totally forgot about those episodes too, where he's going and...
They were the fucking worst. They made me want him to die so much faster and more.
All right. Well, I want to say again, real quick at the end, I enjoyed this episode. I think everything that we have complained about has their valid points. But I think a lot of it, anybody out there who's worried about it, I mean, Jeremy's going to keep shitting on it. That's for sure. But I think...
Indubitably.
I think a lot of the problems that I had in this first episode was just, they could have done a better job setting it up. But I think once the adventure begins, all of this stuff that they did or didn't cram into the first episode goes by the wayside. So stay with us. We're going to have some fun adventures. I'll see you fuckers tomorrow. I'll talk to the rest of you next week.
Please join us Wednesdays at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time, West Coast, California, on YouTube at Wolf Brothers 7. That is Wolf Brothers 7. Please join us live, and you can let us know why we're full of shit. Or you can send me a direct email to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. WoteRewatch.com. That is WoteRewatch.com. We are Parched Aielman on X and Insta. On Facebook, we are still Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. And on Blue Sky, we are Wolf Brothers 13. I'm going to try to post some content on there. Mostly, I'm going to be there to keep you guys up to date on when we're recording, when you can join us. So if we have to change our record time, you can still join us when that changes. But mostly, I want you all to be able to find each other and enjoy talking about the Wheel of Time. So enjoy this throwback episode of Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast, now known as Woat Rewatch of Tribulation.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.